Today on the show, it's time for the latest Disney news and rumors. That's coming up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to this episode of Traveling with the Mouse. It is 191 for Thursday, February 28th. 2019.
Yes, there's only 28 days in February this time, and that's what Thursday is.
My name is Adam Brown, and I am joined by Mr. John Martin.
Hello again, everyone.
It's the last news episode of February. We're wrapping up the month already, and it's 1 month closer to Galaxy's Edge and all this other stuff opening.
And we're creeping up on 200 episodes.
Creeping very slowly to 200 episodes. Will be very soon.
I'll say it'll be there by like April.
A bicentennial episode. Are we going to do something special?
I don't know. We'll have to think about that.
Well, we should talk about the news though first. So let's do that. I'm going to start with not one of the biggest stories, I'm sure. Especially if you listen to Monday's episode, we alluded to what we were going to talk about. And of course, if you have followed anything Disney over the last week, there was a pretty big story that came out. We'll get to that. Don't worry.
Seems like no matter when we do our news episode, it's always going to be right after. Like, we're going to have it finished and recorded.
Yeah, right, exactly. Before something big breaks.
The biggest news, yeah.
We could move our news episode to Mondays and then, you know, stuff would start breaking on Tuesdays instead of Thursdays, apparently, now. But whatever. Thanks, Disney.
I think they do it on purpose.
I'm sure they do. They listen to the show, so.
Right. They're big fans.
They listen to our show more than any others.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm going to start with one that is some new information about the Galaxy's Edge attraction Rise of the Resistance. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, so we'll know. There will be a height requirement for this attraction. And we already know that Millennium Falcon's going to have one. But this one specifically, we weren't sure if this one was going to have one or not. But it turns out that it is. That height limit will be 40 inches for anyone to ride these. So that means both attractions at Galaxy's Edge will be a height requirement of some sort.
Hmm. Well, I mean, the 40 inches is not...
Not much.
It's not bad, yeah. So there's probably going to be kids that are like height eligible that maybe don't want to go on it for the type of attraction it is.
Yeah. So. Just as a comparison, the shortest height requirement attraction that is out there is Alien Swirling Saucers, and that is 32 inches. Also, I think Tomorrowland Speedway is 32 to ride, but you have to be 54 to drive the car, but you can be in the car at 32. The Barnstormer is 35. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Slinky Dog Dash are both 38 inches. The attractions that are also 40 inches are Big Thunder, Splash Mountain, Mission Space Green is 40 inches, Star Tours, and Tower of Terror are also 40, and Dinosaur is also 40.
Okay.
And I would think out of all these attractions, the one that this one is going to be most like that already exists would be Dinosaur in some aspects. It would be similar.
You think so?
Yeah. Because you're in a vehicle and you're moving around. And it says here that this is a quote from Disney that it's going to have a swift drop, in quotations, at the end of the attraction. So there'll be a drop of some sort, and that's what is causing the height requirement.
So it looks like it's going to have screens, so it's going to be a mixture of screens and real. That's what it sounds like.
We know there's the two giant AT-ATs that are actually real, like they built out actual Imperial walkers that are going to be in the show building, so that's going to be awesome. And it's got to be an animatronic Kylo Ren, wouldn't you think?
Maybe.
It's got to be animatronic. Cause
It sounds to me like they're kind of going along the lines of what Universal has done with Harry Potter, or what Universal did many moons ago with Spider-Man, as far as the type, the mixture of the screens and the live action.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I feel like it'll probably be like an like at another level, in the sense of like advancements in technology have come since those have been built. I mean, like I said, Spider-Man was like so far ahead of its time when it came out. I mean, that thing's been there since 99 and it still looks cutting edge. So far ahead of its time. And I feel like it's going to be, I think it's going to be similar to those types of attractions, but like, this is what we can do now with it, you know, type things.
I think though the ride vehicle is probably, I believe it's the trackless system, but it's going to be moving you around in such a way that's similar to, like I said, dinosaurs, probably something you could compare to that's already Disney there, as far as you'll be in a fairly dark space moving around in quick turns and dips and things like that. And then you'll have an encounter, of course, with Kylo Ren. I was thinking at first, you know, a real actor would be really cool because it would be different every time. But that's a lot of time to have a real person in there doing that. So it's probably going to be an animatronic or a screen, or a screen, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's probably going to have, even if it's an animatronic, it's going to have like a screen face, kind of like they do nowadays with like, you know, like a la Frozen. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like their face is going to be a screen of some kind.
Well, I mean, Kylo Ren would just have a mask on, I imagine, so you could easily.
Yeah, he wouldn't have to have a screen.
He'd probably have his mask on. I don't think if you had small kids, you'd be wanting them to do these kind of things anyway. So it's Star Wars is more for, you know, a little bit older kids. Yeah.
Yeah, a little older crowd. Intense
for young kids, anyway. So that's why they have Toy Story Land, I guess.
I mean, let's be honest. This is probably going to be mostly
adults
consumed by 35 to 50 year olds.
Yes, who haven't been outside much, so that's going to be a challenge,
I guess.
All right.
What was that? You remember when Triumph, Insult Comic, when they did that? What was it? Which episode? It was episode 2.
Attack of the Clones.
Whenever it came out, so it was 2002, and he was saying then it was thousands of 35 year old men, right? So, if we fast forward, that it's means like that they would be, like 52, right? If that's the time period.
Yikes.
It's like thousands of 52-year-old men.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like you got different generations of Star Wars fans. You still have the older, you know, the original, and now you've got the prequel folks who are probably like my age, you know, in their 30s and 40s.
Well, that's one of the reasons why they're setting it in a new whole, in a whole new setting, is because they need to mostly appeal to the younger generation of it in order to make this work long term, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, because, you know, just to be quite honest, the original Star Wars fans, some of them are probably like retiring now. So, just saying.
I'm wondering how much do you want to bet that they mentioned Batu in Episode 9, maybe just in passing, but. Like, hey, that's near Batu or something like that. They'll just mention the planet that Galaxy's Edge is on.
They mentioned it in Solo, right? So,
did they mention Batu?
I think it was Batu they mentioned in Solo.
I can't remember.
Or was it the port that they mentioned in Solo? Well, there was something they mentioned in Solo. I have to go back and look and see.
I will too. I know they put it in some like novels and stuff, newer Star Wars material, like print material, but not. I didn't know if it was in a movie yet. But
wasn't Batu the name of the port, right, in Galaxy's Edge?
No, that's the planet. Black Spire Outpost is the.
That's what they mentioned in Solo. Black Spire Outpost.
Oh, okay.
So see if
I have
it's
to go back and watch.
Yeah, if it's on Batu, then that stands to reason that that's been like around for quite some time. If that's the case.
Yeah.
So
interesting. All right, next story.
So, staying in tune with Galaxy's Edge, guests will be required to stay in Oga's. I think that's how you say it, Oga.
Yeah.
Forgive me, fans, if I say it wrong. Cantina.
Right.
Yeah. While consuming their alcoholic beverages at the Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland. So
that's not a surprise.
Not really. Does Disneyland, has they even? This is the first time they're going to have alcohol. Period.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. Anywhere on Disneyland's proper park, yeah.
So, I mean, it stands to reason that they would want to restrict it to some degree. Like, you can't take it out into the park, especially when it's supposed to be for family. So I totally get that. So it's not really that big of a surprise. So,
however, I doubt at Hollywood Studios this will be the case.
Well, you're already allowed to walk around with beverages, so...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, they've been selling those there for a long time, so I don't know why they would change it, you know?
There'll probably be street vendors at Hollywood Studios that will sell alcohol of some sort, so...
Sell alcoholic blue milk.
Exactly.
So,
anyway, poodoo.
I thought that would be good to follow that up with, just to keep people informed of what they're going to be doing, so... Yeah.
People don't seem to be up in arms about this too much. You know how it seemed to be a big deal because Disneyland was the last park probably on the planet, Disney-wise, to not have any alcohol at all. As we know, Magic Kingdom several years ago when Be Our Guest started serving dinner. After that, I mean, pretty much every sit-down restaurant now at Magic Kingdom has alcohol. But not the quick service or any walk-up places. So,
the only thing recently that I've seen everybody seem to get united to crap on it is the trailer for Aladdin. Like,
right, yeah.
when you looked at social media response, like everybody was like groaning, and they don't have a lot of high hopes for them keeping it reasonable, I guess. I don't know. We'll see.
So I'm going to move on to a construction update now. There's... few different ones. One is of the Epcot fireworks construction that is going on in the World Showcase Lagoon. We've seen cranes and barges and different structures being built on the islands that are already there. And it looks like from some of these photographs that they're building a center structure that's going out in the center of the lagoon as well. So they're really... doing a lot of work out there, and it's very visible for anybody walking around there. So
I feel like what's happening here, probably, now, most likely, it's going to house an element that's going to be in this temporary show, but they'll also be able to utilize it in the new show.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like while the temporary show is going to be running, they're just really going to be working out the kinks of the new show, maybe. So everything that they're building now will be in place for both shows, most likely.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if maybe there's more, it's like the newer show might have a little more technology-wise than the old show, maybe. That's what it is, or the temporary show. So
yeah,
maybe that's what it's for.
I think it will be for both. I'm just... wondering, for those who are trying to say goodbye to Illuminations, is it a little distracting? And probably not. It's dark, but I'm just curious. Like,
can you tell where it is? You said it like in the middle. I mean, it seems like that would be in the way of where the globe goes. And
that's what I'm wondering. It looks like it's a small, like, little structure, but the photograph shows it like two guys standing on this little tiny wooden structure that's in the middle. It looks like it's a cast for some sort of cement structure that's being put in place in the very middle of the water.
I kind of wish I could get there to see Illuminations one last time, but I don't think it's going to be feasible, but we'll see. Yeah, maybe it'll happen.
Park hop over there if you can.
Yeah.
So the other construction update, Mission Space Restaurant is much more visible as well these days. And from what I gathered, it's like a backstage tour of Epcot, like a Future World tour or something. Mm-hmm. And you can really see a lot of this. Like, you walk back there in the construction area of the Mission Space Restaurant, like under test tracks, outdoor track in the outdoor area. So,
you know, I've been wondering if on any of these tours, like, somebody tries to get like a secret camera maybe on these tours, kind of like I don't know, like a sunglasses camera or a lapel camera or something like that. Like, so they can get footage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like Hidden Howie that Howie Mandel used to do, where he wore a camera on his glasses. Yeah.
Well, I actually have some sunglasses that have a camera on them. I mean, it's not the best quality. I tried them out. It's been several years now. But
are they that obvious? Are they kind of like a hidden camera?
If you're looking at them, you would know there was a camera. But most people aren't even paying attention to what's on your glasses most of the time.
Yeah.
Because there's a spot kind of in the middle of it where you can tell there's something that's not typical. I mean, they hide it pretty good.
Yeah.
I was thinking like maybe a pin camera or something. Like if you wore a shirt with a pocket, like if you put it in there, if they wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like if they wouldn't notice.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure somebody would do it, but then I wonder, well, no, it depends on if you upload it to like YouTube, they would obviously shut your channel down probably, but.
Unless you did it anonymously somehow.
Yeah. I don't know how, but I'm sure they would still come after you in some way.
Like you notice like the Hoot and Chief things that we did a link to in our last episode of Horizons.
Monday's episode.
How they waited like, I don't know, several years before they actually did that. Several years after its closing.
Right.
They felt like they were in the clear
before they released that stuff. What's Disney going to do now?
Yeah, exactly. Matter? So
the last little update is, I don't remember talking about this last week. Did we talk about the Skyliners moving at full speed last week? The gondolas testing?
I don't recall, but they've definitely been doing that since that time.
Yeah. So, I've seen several. Yeah. Videos like every day are coming out of these things going warp speed. I wouldn't say that, but they're going pretty fast.
The thing that gets me, is it just me or does that not look like the most stable thing in the world? Like, is just one arm hanging onto this cable?
Right. Yes.
I mean, I trust that they know what they're doing, but I mean, it just doesn't look like the most stable thing in the world. So.
Yeah, it doesn't look that way. But when you see it moving out of the station, there's like, I've seen videos of them going out of the Hollywood Studios station. They're like leaning forward. They're moving so fast. You know, they're moving at such a fast acceleration that they're leaning forward. And yeah, these little arms are just kind of hanging down and then bolted to the top of the gondola. I wonder if there is a weight limit kind of thing where...
Well, I'm sure there's something.
Especially if you have... Like you were talking about doing the sky buckets with your dad and your brother as adults, essentially.
Yeah, I mentioned that recently on a Facebook comment of a friend of ours.
Right, yeah.
That's probably where you saw it.
That's right, I remember you. I thought you talked about it on the show before, maybe not, but...
I don't recall it, but maybe. Basically we got on the sky buckets like, none of the three of us are small guys by any means, let's put it that way. Yes. Like at that point in time, let's see, this was 99, and I was 220, 230 pounds.
Yeah.
James maybe right at 200, dad like 280, you know, all three of us in one sky bucket. And I can't remember what the weight limit there is, but we noticed we were above it. Cuz I have video of this talking about it. It's kind of a little bit of a comical situation, just a little bit. Some of it's not stuff I think we should probably like display, release. So we're not going to do that, but
you'll have to bleep it out now.
Yeah, I may have to edit it some.
That's funny.
But anyway, dad mentions what it is on there, like being above the weight limit, but I think he says the kilos part because, you know, they have it in both of them because he makes a joke about it. Hey, maybe we're under that. Like that. Right. Yeah, he kind of jokes that. But, you know, we were definitely over the weight limit. So
yeah, like 700 pounds.
Yeah, we survived. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the week later, that's when it closed, the sky buckets.
Because... It was not long after. It's like we broke the sky bucket.
Yeah, you broke them. Yeah. Well, I haven't heard any news on that kind of thing, but about weight limits or anything. But it does look like it would have one because, I mean, they're not big, but you never know. You get enough weight in there, especially like an ECV with a couple other large passengers. There might be a need for a weight limit.
Yeah.
So anyway. So there you go. There's some construction updates for you.
All right. So I want to move into, again, another one that I think might be quick. It's Marvel related. So for the Marvel fans out there, an update on the possibility for future X-Men movies with this. So in regards to X-Men, Kevin Feige, I think is how you say his name, will be in charge of future X-Men movies. And Disney is looking to recast Wolverine for Hugh Jackman. Now, I get it, I guess, because Hugh Jackman's getting a little older. and they probably need to try it with something that's a little more believable for a guy who's, you know, because of his
ageless
power.
Right.
Yeah, his healing factor. He probably needs to look a little younger at some point. Not that Hugh Jackman. I mean, Hugh Jackman looks pretty close to the same as when he started, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look bad.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
for his age.
There's a lot of people in Hollywood that are ageless, it seems. But it says he says in regards to, he said that would be between Fox and Disney. Shuler Donner actually said that. And says, obviously, Kevin and I started the first one. He worked for me. He's got a great story sense. He's got great ability to weave each world and weave those worlds together. I trust him, and I trust that he will take care of the X-Men. And then, of course, it says in regards of Wolverine, she says, yes, I don't know what Kevin's thinking, honestly. I don't even think Kevin knows. I think Kevin still dealing with this wealth of characters and trying to make sense of them. She acknowledged that now it's time to pass the torch or the claws, as it were, from Jackman to a younger actor. Yes, because Hugh, just the physicality of it all, just to bulk up, she said, this man worked so hard to bulk up, would get up at 4 a.m. to bulk up and eat protein meals every 2 hours because his natural state, they used to call him Worm when he was a kid. So his natural state is a very skinny guy. So once you reach a certain age, the body just won't go anymore, the way she put it.
Okay.
She says, I think he was wise to say I'm at that point that I can't do it. Now, that doesn't mean he can't come back as an older Wolverine, it says. He said, you never know. Future Wolverine, you never know. Hmm. So.
Right. That makes sense.
I kind of like the idea that the X-Men is going to continue to some degree. I mean, there's been a couple of good ones that Fox did. But it's been a while since we've seen them that's really worthy of the early ones. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. And right. From what I had seen, yes, I agree.
And of course, they went to doing the younger, like the when they were younger type right, movies. Yeah. And I liked those. I mean, I didn't have anything against those. I liked them. I would like to see the characters that people knew and loved the most and the best continue. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Together.
So, yeah. Right. And, you know, they're probably going to have to recast most of them anyway. They might... I mean, heck, the ones that are younger, they might could make them play the older characters now just about. It's been that much time passed. I don't see how you could do, say, a Patrick Stewart and it still be believable at this point, or even Sir Ian McKellen and it still be believable at this point. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're both older.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could still do it if they wanted to, I guess, but it just wouldn't be as believable, I don't think, at this point. So,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so I've got a couple of other... These are construction projects that will happen in the future. Permits that Disney filed recently for some construction projects. One of them is at Animal Kingdom. It looks like pretty soon Disney's going to be readjusting the parking lot tram drop-off area and moving the security bag check area outward, like making it further or closer to where the bus stops are and the current tram drop-off is. So the tram drop-off is going to be moved closer to where the bus stops are, and the new security checkpoint is going to be basically where the tram lets out now. And I think this is a good idea, for one, because at Animal Kingdom, if you go at a busy time, the security, like, kind of wraps around the side, so you have to, like, walk through some trees and everything to get to the other bag check area. So they need some more space, and moving it further away from the entrance of the park is actually a good thing as well, I think, for security purposes. So it'll also make the bag check a little bit more efficient, because they can probably have more room and spread the crowd out a little bit more. So some much-needed changes there. And the other one is some permits about the River Country area hotel, which is going to be the Reflections Resort that will be off of Bay Lake. The Disney filed permits for using the that stall port, the old short takeoff and landing airport strip, for a staging area for the new resort. It looks like they're going to build some new roads that connect to that airstrip. The weird thing is it stretches back almost to where some of the campsites at Fort Wilderness are, so it's, I'm assuming that's just going to be like where the entryway of the new resort's going to be, but It almost looks like it's taking over part of Fort Wilderness, which is strange. I thought it was supposed to be right off Bay Lake, but right now the roads don't even go near Bay Lake. But this is sort of preparation work for that, you know, hotel construction. So we'll see in the future what evolves there. So there you have it.
As we mentioned last week, they were introducing a Hey Hey Dole Whip cone.
Oh, yeah.
To Aloha Isle. I just thought I would revisit that real quickly. Because this looks like something I would try. It's kind of expensive for an ice cream cone, $5.29 for the Dole Whip cone. But it's basically, it has the pineapple Dole Whip, but it also has a raspberry flavor on top of the pineapple one. And a green cone, so they complete the Hey Hey look, basically.
Yeah.
It has some sort of fondant eyes, is what it looks like it's made of. And I can't tell exactly what the, they're like sugar piece eyes, excuse me. Sour, and a sour candy comb for the, what do they call it on the top of a rooster? Anyway, for that piece. Yeah, I can't think of what it is now, right off the top of my head. I did see on social media when these were released that, like, they were very popular and, like, they ran out of the eyes. So they were serving them without the eyes, which I think would still be good. I would like it. I love anything raspberry, so I think I would really like this. I hope it's still available when I get back there.
All right, so here's a quick little news update for the Riviera Resort. I have the DVC point allotments that it's going to cost DVC members. Now, it's not the... Like, it's not like the buy-in amount if you're buying the resort. It's if you already have DVC and you're going to stay there, this is how many points it would require for a each type of room. So for a tower studio, which I believe those are the two-person rooms, like maximum two only, is 15 points per night. A deluxe studio standard view is going to be 20 points a night, 24 points for a preferred view deluxe studio. The one-bedroom villa's standard view is 40 points, preferred view is 47 points. A two-bedroom villa starts at 54 points a night, and two-bedroom preferred view is 65 points a night. The three-bedroom grand villa is 134 points a night. So that sounds like a lot. To put that in perspective, for those who may not know anything about Disney Vacation Club, Disney gives you a certain number of points that you buy into. It's not like a traditional timeshare that you just sort of buy your spot. You're actually just buying points that you can use. The minimum buy-in that I've heard, that they've always told me, was 100 points. I've heard it's as low as 75 recently, but every time they've tried to pitch it to me, it's been 100 points minimum. And
there's been exceptions, but that's the typical.
Yeah.
What you say. Yeah.
And again, that's around $180-something a point. So you do the math there. It's like $17,000-$18,000 to buy into at 100 points. So if you had 100 points, you could stay at a deluxe studio for 5 nights, and that would get you your whole amount of points for the year.
Right.
Or you could borrow from the next year in order to stay one night at a 3-bedroom villa. So,
well,
that tells you that.
And it depends on when you bought in and to which one you bought into, because you could buy on the resale market and still use what you bought points-wise on this. The difference is that whatever your home resort is, like where you bought the points, you get a longer or more of a window as far as booking ahead than you do the other resorts.
Right.
You have a booking window of, if I remember right, it's 10 months, I think.
Right. Versus on, like 8 or 6 or something.
Yeah, versus 7, I think. It's like 3 months difference.
That sounds right, yeah.
Is your booking window for your home resort versus all the others. So you can stay at any of them. It's just your home resort, you get a longer booking window.
Right.
So.
Anyway, so it sounds expensive. They keep talking about this resort being more along the lines of like Grand Floridian price wise, which is a little surprising to a lot of people because, well, one, it's a small resort. Maybe that's one reason why. But it's also right next to Caribbean Beach, which is a moderate resort, and then on the same line, Skyliner, as two value resorts. And this is, you know, the big, giant resort that they're charging insane prices for right now. So
I mean, it's literally on what used to be Caribbean Beach property.
Exactly.
Like they took part of it away.
Yeah, so. It's crazy. Because in the beginning, people were thinking, oh, this is going to be a moderate DVC resort, like the first of its kind. But nope, it's actually the complete opposite of that. We're going to charge as much as the Grand Floridian for a room here.
And I feel like they're probably going to give you some, obviously, some pretty luxurious perks for staying there. You're going to get the deluxe treatment, let's put it that way. That's why they're charging where they are.
Yeah.
So
it's the first deluxe. Well, I can't say that because, I mean, it's a deluxe resort that has its own Skyliner station, whereas technically you could say the Boardwalk, Yacht and Beach are connected to the Skyliner as well, but it's really, they call it Epcot, even though you could literally walk 5 or 10 minutes and get to it from those Epcot resorts. So
right.
It's not the only deluxe on the line, but they're claiming it as it is, you know. The Riviera is the only one, but it's, anyway, there's more than that.
Speaking of resorts on the Skyliner, there's been some photos surfaced just in the last couple of days of construction progress on Pop Century and Art of Animation Skyliner stations. And you know what, as I look at these, what I was going to say about these is that I feel like the stations are probably going to be the reason for like whatever delay we might think in Skyliner, because it looks like the Skyliner in and of itself is pretty much in place, but the stations, even though they're having progress, they still look like they're a pretty good ways away from being finished. They got to have a complete station, obviously, for people to line up in
right, to actually use it.
You can't just jump in
as it's leaving.
I feel like they're going to be whatever any hang up that we see or potential hang up that we see later on this year is probably going to be based on the stations from what I see, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean,
I use C a lot there.
Yeah, C is for Catwoman. No, I don't think it's going to be fall, though. It just seems so long away to be. I feel like maybe 3 months and the stations should be like done, but
I'm just, you know, they still said fall.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they would do it sooner if they feel like they could, so I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to set a high, like a low bar, I should say, not high bar, a low bar to be like, oh, and then we are even better than we thought we were, you know, kind of thing.
I was going to stay at a Skyliner resort in September, but we changed it. For the time being, I felt like my daughter would like staying in a Toy Story room over at All-Star Movies, so we decided to want to try one of those out. We never stayed at an All-Star resort before.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to see what it was all about, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious.
And it's going to save us some cash, too, so.
Right. Topiaries for the Flower and Garden Festival are already popping up at Epcot. There's, like, a Toy Story one already popped up that shows Bo Peep and Woody, so pretty clever that they're already, you know.
I saw a couple of good shots on Twitter today that I thought were pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Right,
Those you mentioned were one of them.
Oh, yeah. And that one. I know the Muppet one in France is a really cool one, too. That's probably the one you were most talking about.
That was one of them.
The Kermit on his little bicycle, which is... What movie was that from? Was it Muppets Take Manhattan? Where he was riding the bike? I can't remember now.
It was one of those. I always thought it was funny seeing him ride a bicycle. The way they have to do it, you know.
Yeah, it was always cool. But so they have a topiary of Kermit on the bicycle, and Piggy sitting on her luggage with a bunch of mirrors surrounding her. So,
right,
with pictures of the Eiffel Tower and stuff behind her, and of course Kermit has some baguettes in his little basket in on his bicycle. So very clever. I like those quite a bit, actually. They're very cute.
Of course, France usually has a Beauty and the Beast, of course, of all kinds. So that's usually there.
It's always there around the fountain area, usually.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Captain Hook they did, like with the Peter Pan. But the Peter Pan's okay, but the Captain Hook in particular looks pretty cool that I see here. Yeah. That they did on that one.
And of course, they always have Anna Nilsa in front of Norway.
And over in the UK, I see Rabbit and Pooh, and maybe it's just me, but doesn't it look like they purposely tried to do the new, like the movie that just came out last August, right?
Yeah.
That Pooh version. Doesn't it look like they purposely tried to do that on this Topia that you're looking at? Of course.
It is, yeah.
Those of you listening can't see, obviously. Right. But
they had the Pooh there last year, because I have a picture of Pooh from last March.
I think they did the same thing with the Tigger and all those. You know, they tried to make it like the...
Right, the movie versus the cartoon.
Yeah.
Similar.
The movie version.
And I feel like Peter Pan used to always be like on top of the building, so I'm kind of glad they moved him down to where you can actually see him up close.
Well, what I'm wondering is, why is it with all these characters that actually got facial features, why does Peter get like a totally blank face unless they're going to change it?
I hope they are going to change it, because that's probably why they stuck him at the top of the building before. He used to be on top of the building.
Right. But you notice, you look at all these other face characters, and they have, like, good faces.
Yeah, they have, like, eyes and a mouth and stuff and teeth. Like, yeah.
Peter looks like a mannequin.
He does, yeah. With no face, yeah.
I hope they're going to adjust that one.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So, just to give you an update, you know how we occasionally had done the what needs to be repaired in Walt Disney World? So here are a couple of things that got repaired as noticeable as of, what, the 22nd? What day was that? Thursday? Okay. At least as of that day. The T on the entrance sign at Epcot Center Drive was fixed. Casey Jr. has been cleaned and repainted in many places. Many of the components are moving better. I mean, it's been reported that it's been fixed. And they're still doing some work on it, I think, even now, right? I mean, if I remember right, maybe they're done with it by now.
Yeah, I think it's still going for a little longer, but...
Okay. Small World, the Irish children that were barely dancing, you know, their movement used to be profound. It's been fixed. The Polynesian scene where the giant shadow of a butterfly on the wall, it's been fixed. The first screen and the finale has been fixed, where it was covered. It was covered at one point. Looks like the screaming pirate sound when the boats take the plunge is back. Jungle Cruise. Okay, so they had several updates of Jungle Cruise. Tarantula in the Cage, fixed.
No, that's good.
The lions in the African veldt, fixed. Drummers that were not moving, the native drummers, they're also been fixed. The shrunken head that had fallen down at Trader Sam's, and apparently his neck was severely damaged, that's been reported as fixed. And the chalkboard at the ride's exit has been reported as fixed. As well as on Big Thunder, it says a possum that doesn't spin has been fixed. So, yeah, there's been several things that just have come up. It looks like Disney does really pay attention to Twitter. So there's been a couple more. Journey to Imagination, there was the upside-down TV in Figment's house. It said it was dimmed, like the image that was on it, to the point we can't even see what's on it. But that's been fixed.
Interesting. Since then.
So,
wonder what they had to do for something like that. Like, just overnight they kind of fixed it, or over a couple of days maybe?
I don't know. It was reported as of Valentine's Day, apparently, that the Figment one had been fixed. But we just got the update on it. The screen, though, I don't know. I feel like that's something they probably have something they can do close by. But again, just to let everybody know, if you report it on social media with the hashtag WDWNTFix as well, they know it on the Walt Disney World News Today website, which also they will see that Walt Disney World, you know.
Yeah, they pay attention.
The whole purpose of this whole thing is to get them to looking at how something's supposed to look. And apparently they pay attention to it. So anyone that wants to, that's the hashtag you use, WDWNTFix. Yeah. So
it seems like with these things, Disney's focusing a lot on one attraction at a time kind of thing. They're not like spreading it out like, oh, let's fix like five things.
Possibly.
It's like, okay, this week we're working on Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, possibly.
So at least maybe they have a budget for it now, or maybe they have a team that is looking into these things.
Well, they definitely have social media teams, so to look at things. So,
all right, so let's not delay any longer. Let's talk about the big news that came out last week, and that is the new changes that Disney announced coming to Epcot. There's two major changes that they announced. Anyway, there's more to come, but these are the two that were announced. I'll start with the smaller of the two, which is the kind of redesign of the entrance complex area of Epcot. Once you enter, you know, most people are familiar with the what most people call the graveyard.
Where you That's have, pretty much what it looks like now.
We have people's faces on there. Of course, famously, NSYNC, everyone knows that they're on there.
It's looked that way ever since, what, 2000?
To me, yes. Nobody really ever looks at those unless they're trying to find NSYNC. You see, always see like one or two people trying to find them. But that's about it. It's usually just kind of an obstruction trying to get to where you're going in or out of the park.
Or they're trying to find the unrecognizable picture of themselves. Right, paid
probably paid a lot of money for.
Yeah. A ton for.
Just like those tiles at like Magic Kingdom, those bricks that have like gum stuck to them now.
And some of them you really can't have not aged well at all. Like you really can't see where it was before.
Right.
And they sold that whole thing as like you're going to be immortalized or whatever at Walt Disney World. Yeah.
Talk about a maintenance report. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fix my brick, Disney.
Yeah. I wonder if I'm going to say, if you have a brick at Walt Disney World, take a picture of it and then share it on social media so that you want your brick repaired.
Well, yeah, exactly. So anyway, that looks cool. Like, first of all, for the entrance area, it looks like they're replacing the fountain, which is kind of an ugly fountain that they have now, with one that's more like the original fountain that had the Epcot, like, what was it, crystal.
It was meant to look kind of that way, but I don't know what you're talking about. It looks like they're going to go with a retro fountain, basically.
Yeah, retro fountain that has... And I notice if you zoom in on this photo, they have what looks like the retro Epcot logo on these flags around the perimeter. And maybe that's part of what they're talking about, of trying to keep with Epcot's original vision in some way of
bringing back... Except for all the IP.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're going to make it look like the old Epcot as far as our logo, but... We're going to change everything else.
It's like we're going back to our roots to a degree.
Yeah.
And look only.
So the big announcement was the conversion of the Wonders of Life Pavilion into this new play pavilion, as they call it. From the concept art, and of course I'll link to this. You'll see it on the social media when we release the episode. Does this look kind of like what Ralph Breaks the Internet? I mean, that's what I first thought of, was seeing some of the trailer for that. Does this look at all like some of the internet from that movie? That's kind of the first thing I thought of.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. Whenever they put out the artist renderings of these things, it always looks way better than it actually turns out.
That's true.
it always looks way extravagant from what it actually turns out.
Yes.
So I could see some similarities maybe between that. Yeah. I don't think that's the intention, though. I mean, what did they say the attraction was supposed to be?
Well, first of all, let me comment on the picture. If you look, this kid is holding Mickey's hand. So you know that's never going to happen. And
right.
Mickey's like a foot shorter than that kid. So anyway, which we all know, Mickey's taller.
They might be looking to release a new animatronic Mickey.
Yeah. So it says that the new Epcot plans are going to include this play pavilion that's going to be unlike anything you've ever seen in a park or at the park, Epcot.
Isn't that everything?
Yeah, they always say that. The new space will be devoted to playful fun and feature an innovative city that comes to life under the dome of what it says unnamed pavilion, which is previously Wonders of Life, so they're obviously going to name it something other than Wonders of Life. The pavilion city will be bursting with interactive experiences and, of course, your favorite Disney characters, as well as hands-on activities, engaging entertainment. So isn't this kind of like going back to what Interventions used to be, but they're just moving it over here to Wonders of Life.
It sounds like some similarities. Yeah. Well, Wonders of Life, you know, had a lot of different things inside the pavilion, too.
True, yeah.
A lot of different areas. So I don't know if they're just utilizing it, I guess,
yeah,
from its original.
One thing they definitely changed is it's not going to look like the old 80s/90s decor that's currently still in there.
Yeah, they did kind of leave a good bit of it anyway.
But you can see from this concept art, it does look like the ramp is going around, so it looks very similar to, like, if you were walked in the door and just looked straight in. This is what it looks like you would see. And they have... I'm guessing from this, it also looks like the dome is going to be kind of like the Mexico Pavilion is what this looks like, because they have a sky background. The dome is... They have clouds and stars and lights, so it looks like they're going to try to make this look more like an indoor-outdoor pavilion like Mexico, perhaps.
I'm a little bit surprised they didn't use this space for doing Inside Out like we had talked about before, because, like I said, the theater for the former Cranium Command would have been perfect for an Inside Out attraction.
Mm-hmm. But, well, if you look at the concept art, there is a joy, looks like emoji, over here on a building on the top right.
She's so on maybe the top they are. Building. Maybe they are utilizing it, because they haven't named it yet. So
yeah, they also have emojis of what looks like Marie from Aristocats and Edna Mode over here on the left. So, and it looks like the Incredibles logo, perhaps, on the building. It looks like upside down, though. It looks like an exclamation mark. That says Let's Play, but it looks like the Incredibles logo upside down, so I don't know.
It's kind of an odd combo. Like those movies, though, like you said. Like Marie from the Aristocrats associated with Inside Out and Incredibles. I mean, just seems like an odd mixture.
Right. So I don't know. Why is Marie on one of these buildings? I don't know. Maybe it's... I don't know.
Pets of the future?
I don't know.
Makes me wonder if the theft of Buzzy didn't maybe say, hey, we need to do something with this before somebody tries to take something else.
Maybe. Or maybe Disney stole it and they're like, because they didn't steal it, but Disney removed it because they're already starting on the construction of this.
Right. Maybe it wasn't really stolen. They just reported it stolen so they could get the insurance.
Exactly.
If there is any.
Pay for this new pavilion.
I like the idea that they're doing something with it. I just hope that it turns out well. I liked the old pavilion. I do think the old pavilion was dated in a lot of ways. I liked Cranium Command a little more than I did Body Wars. I don't know if it was the humor aspect of it, but yeah. I mean, I enjoyed both. But Body Wars, I mean, it was like, okay, at the same time the Body Wars was released, you had Star Tours over at Hollywood Studios. So, I mean, if you got to choose between the two of those, Star Tours totally was better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, they also mentioned that they're going to make the Odyssey restaurant, or the former restaurant Odyssey, but the Odyssey building near World Showcase and the Mexico Pavilion is going to be a kind of like a preview center for the construction projects that Epcot's going to be undergoing over the next few years. And okay. But that makes me wonder, are they going to have any kind of festival center for food and wine this year? Because...
Surely they will.
Yeah. We thought the Odyssey would be used for that, but looks like it's going to be used as a preview center for new construction projects. Unless they're just going to temporarily do that and then change it to food and wine for food and wine festival. I don't know, but...
They could probably house both in there. It's just a decent-sized building.
I mean, it's not huge, though. I mean, when you think about the Festival Center being Wonders of Life, and now it's the Odyssey, it's you know, much smaller.
They're probably going to scale back the Festival Center.
I guess. I mean, you used to could go in there and buy... I mean, they had a huge selection of wines. They had the cooking demonstration areas. They had a couple of places where you could get some samples of things, and then a lot of merchandise. So maybe
I bet you they're probably just going to spread that out in different areas.
Yeah, like more pop-up places for merchandise and
something.
Because I always thought, like, that shop that's right there at the entrance, pretty much, to World Showcase, it seems like the place for food and wine stuff already during that time period, at least, anyway. I mean, they might as well just move everything in there that they can in there that they plan on selling. They do it already anyway.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this episode of Traveling with the Mouse. As always, we have our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can also email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/TWTM podcast. Check that out there. We're going to have some more bonus content coming around the Every Ride Parkology challenge that we're doing coming up soon. So follow us there.
We also have social media. We have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We also have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast.
So for John Martin, my name is Adam Brown, and we will see you on our next trip.